Let's see if we can't get it all the way back to Forest Avenue, okay? We'll just keep working that way. Please, there's, you know, that virus that's going around. It's, you know, Judy and Pam and everyone, just you guys stay healthy. Be praying for them. Kathy Ruiz, please continue to pray for her that she will recover and go see her, most importantly. We also, Daniel prayed, of course, you know, with Ramon's, the passing of his aunt. We want to keep praying for his family, but some of you might have wondered what in the world was Daniel praying about Nick's. Nick was down in South Florida, went up to see his dad in Orlando, and I guess his dad and his family came down to see him. And on the way back, his dad's family got in a car wreck, totaled the car. The hospital said they're all good, so they came out physically okay. They're going to be sore, but, you know, it's just, wow, you know, 2 days before, or 3 days before Christmas. Just thank the Lord everyone is safe and okay. So, amen. Let's say a prayer, and then let me just share a couple of things. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for this time. More than anything, Father, please help me to say things that you want me to say. Please help my heart to be wide open, everyone's heart here. And as this world celebrates, takes time to celebrate the sending of your Son, Father, I pray that that's a celebration that each one of us truly experience every day of our lives. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your glory and all that that is about you. Thank you for you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for you, Jesus, for your example and for the fact you always live for us right now. We pray that everything that we do right now will be to your glory, to your praise. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 2. This will be kind of the last part of our Merry Christmas from, you know, we talked about Merry Christmas from Mary 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about Merry Christmas from Simeon, and this week I want to talk about Merry Christmas from the angels. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. I'm sorry, that is verse 8. My glasses, I'm going to have to get stronger glasses here. I refuse to go to large print. I'm going down fighting, guys. The last part of my breath. I just, you know, just pray I can memorize stuff from this point on. All right, here we go. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." The angels said, and all of them, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Merry Christmas from the angels, and that is peace to you, on whom the favor of the Lord rests. Now, interesting thing about this, notice who this was said to. It was said to shepherds. Now, we love the idea and the image of a shepherd, and certainly since Jesus called Himself the Great Shepherd, and we are the sheep of God, the flock of God, the idea of a shepherd is a very prominent and very pretty picture. But back in this day and age, back in this time, in this social strata, These guys were toward the bottom rung. They were out in the field. They smelled like sheep. They took care of animals. You know, they were a necessary thing. They were good at it. But it wasn't like, wow, here's a shepherd. No, this was someone on the low rung of the social ladder. And yet it is to these people that the angels of heaven appear. And they say, there's going to be good news of great joy for all men. For shepherds as well as emperors. For men as well as women. For every background, every nationality, for all mankind. Now you got to understand, there were whispers and even echoes of this all throughout the scriptures. But the coming of the Messiah was not going to be relegated to just one people. Oh, they were the people of the promise. God's people, the Jews. They are our brothers. But it was through them that all nations would be blessed. Southern American boys would end up getting blessed. Irish people, African, Italian, it doesn't matter what culture, anywhere. Through all nations, this was going to happen. This was good news and saying peace to you on whom the favor of God rests. But notice something. When we think of peace, did it really come? I mean, did you know that when Jesus was born, Herod still ruled over that part of the area? Caesar Augustus still ruled over most of the known world from Rome? Nothing changed. When this news of great joy, all of a sudden the shepherds didn't find themselves as VP of some corporation. Great, I get to leave these stupid animals and do something and earn a lot more money. It didn't happen. They were still shepherds. So how could this peace come? Because see, peace and every other blessing starts from within. There are promises in the scriptures. If God is for us, who can be against us? That was said by a man who was going to die in prison. But he didn't care because he felt like he was reigning with Christ at that point. You see, if you're free on the inside, there's nothing that anybody can do to you. There's nothing that any situation can do to you if you are truly free. And so when Jesus came into the world, the whole point was to, yes, change the world, but you do that by changing the people of the world. Laws are good. We need laws. But you know what laws do? They just contain the craziness. And then people get creative on how to go around the law, right? And still hurt their neighbor. Jesus came knowing one thing. Yeah, put laws in place. Because a fallen world, it's crazy. But let's get about to real change. And that comes from within. And it starts with that peace with God from within. So the angels are saying, Merry Christmas, Staten Island, region of the New York City Church of Christ. Merry Christmas to every single person in here. Peace to you on whom God's favor rests. Now, if though we're really going to enjoy that, there are two things we need to know. Number one, when the angels came and gave us that message, they also gave us this truth that what you see is not all that there is. And this is real important. What you see is not all that there is. Like I said, their station didn't change. All of a sudden, you didn't see this, all these other things changing because you see, people were still living their lives one day, going to their jobs, doing this, that, and the other. But something did change. You see, with the angels coming in and showing us that there is a more going on than you and I are cognizant of. When we think of reality, we think of our lives, what we can see, feel, hear, touch. When God thinks of reality, He thinks of something so far beyond that's affecting the very inside of our heart. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. This angelic greeting assures me that, you know, what I see is not all that there is. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When those angels burst forth and said this, the shepherds knew, boy, there's more to this life than what I see. There is a whole divine, there's a whole spiritual realm that's now breaking into the physical. There's more. And why is that? Because that spiritual realm has been obvious all along. It's within the hearts of men and women everywhere. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm trying to be a better person. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your job. It's not your kids. It's not your neighborhood. All these may need changing in some way or another, but it's you. It's me. And it's us understanding that the real battle is going on all around us in the heavenly realms. Angels throughout the Bible have been God's messengers, divine messengers. They've stepped in from the heavenly realms into the physical creation to issue the will of God. But I want you to see something else that angels have been for. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. It's okay. A lot of people cry during my messages, you know. After 41 years, I've kind of gotten used to it. You know what I mean? In Hebrews 1 and 2, the writer is talking about how amazing Jesus is. And yet there would be something that would come up in many people with a Jewish background mind. Okay, he's amazing, but he became man. God became man. Well, according to Psalm 8, man is created a little lower than the angels. So how do we think about Jesus? Is he a little lower than the angels? I mean, where is he in this whole? And so Hebrews saying, no. Look, he's still above the angels. And so the first two chapters, he's kind of hammering that out and making sure they understand Jesus. Yes, he condescended to become man, but he has been raised in all power and glory and majesty. And the first three verses of Hebrews 1 just establishes that. But I want you to know something that's said in talking about angels in verse 14 of chapter 1. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So what have angels been used for? They're ministering spirits to help who? Those that will inherit salvation. Well, now, I don't get that. I thought the Holy Spirit lives in us to empower us to change and to be the person we need to be. Yes, absolutely. But when you read throughout the Scriptures, you see angels coming in to help those who are to inherit salvation. You look at the situation, Daniel's chapter 8 through 12. When you see Gabriel and Michael, and what are they portrayed as doing? Protecting the people of God, fighting on behalf of the people of God. Well, where's the fighting happening? In the heavenly realms. That's where it's happening. The angels intercede. They do battle for those that are to inherit salvation. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit changes. He does. So what are the angels doing? They're dealing with the tempters and the demons and everyone that brings, trying to get us to, you know, sending us the thoughts, the urges, all of these things, trying to get us, pull us away. The angels fight for us if we want them to. They are the ones that do battle. The Holy Spirit creates and changes and empowers us. But the temptation, now we can say no means no to the heavenly realms. We used not to be able to say that. We used to be the victim of our own urges, our own thinking. Our best thinking got us into a mess of trouble, right? And so the satanic forces, you know, it amazes me. We read Genesis 3, how Adam and Eve blew it, and it's so easy to sit in judgment on them. It's like, man, that's such a, I mean, you know, that's really kind of stupid, man. I mean, all you had to do was obey one thing. Come on. What is the problem? you ought to live in 2019. There's all sorts of things we can do wrong now. Doesn't matter. Satan has been there all along with his demonic hosts in the heavenly realms. And as man has, quote, advanced and gotten more complicated, which just means he's invited more distractions into his life, Satan's just, okay, I'll meet you at that level and I'll deceive you there. I'll meet you. And he's had experience. So who's going to fight for us? How will we know what's right, what's wrong? We'll just read the Bible. But what about the urges and the desires? I don't want to. Why am I fighting like this? You need some divine intervention. You need someone to fight for you, the temptations, all of that. The angels will come and do that. And the Holy Spirit in you will give you the character change you need to start seeing it more and more. The angels are our ministering spirits. So, what does Merry Christmas from the angels say? Guys, there's a lot more going on than what you see. And that's not to scare you. That's to make you aware. That's to teach you how to choose right. That's to teach you how to pray. To realize that your life is not measured a success by how much you make or what you accomplish in this world. It's measured a success by at the end of your life, you have lived in such a way, God says, well done, you good and faithful servant, full of faith, full of being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That's how you lived your faith. For some people, that'll cost them everything. For others, not as much. It doesn't matter. That isn't what we do. We don't barter with God. But we come in knowing this. When the angels appear, they're saying, Merry Christmas. There's a lot more going on than you think. So trust in God. Trust in His view, in His point of view, in His vision. Secondly, and by the way, if you do that, what's the result? Peace on the inside. Peace. You don't have to be afraid. Doesn't matter. All the hordes of hell can come after you. It just doesn't matter. They cannot do a thing against you. You do not allow them to. You can stand. You have all of the help in the world. Peace to you. If God is for you, who in the world can be against you? Peace. The second thing that they are wishing, part of their Merry Christmas, peace on earth, is change. Change. You know what? I believe every single person here wants to grow. Now, you may have different ideas in your mind what that means, you know. Those that are kids in here, I understand when I say grow, yeah, you just can't wait till you get to be a grown-up and have your own room or car or whatever else you want, right? I understand that. Let me talk to your parents here a little bit. You want to grow too. And maybe you want to grow up, too. Who knows, you know? But you want to grow, too. And when it comes to spiritually, it's like, yes, I want to grow. I want to grow. But you want to know what? Not everyone wants to change. And that is the proverbial kicker in the whole situation. Why in the world did Jesus say, hey, the path is broad that leads to destruction? Many go by it, but the way is narrow that leads to life, and only a few find it. Is he elitist? Is he prejudiced? No! He just knows this, when it's left up to freedom of choice, people will always want growth, but only a few will want to change. And you cannot have growth without change. And the biggest challenge of all is seeing, oh my goodness, change comes from me starting here. You know, it's easy when you look in life. If my wife was different, I would be this. If my husband was different, I would be this. If my dad was different, my mom was different, my kids were different, my job was different, if my neighborhood was different, if my health was different, there's always going to be something that says you cannot change. And if you are without God, that's all you got. You cannot change. But the minute the angels came into this earth, they said, guess what? Change is possible. The divine controls the physical as well as the spiritual. And for anyone who wants it, for those on whom his favor rests, for those who, hey, help me, Lord, you don't have to be a certain intelligence, you don't have to be a certain wealth, you don't have to be a certain race, you don't have to be anything but a heart that says, God, here am I. Change me. But change is scary. Change is scary. One of the things that is one of the most unusual, well, I better not bring that up, this country. I'm sorry. Forget I have even said that, okay? I'm 65 years old. I can't be responsible for everything. It's got dribbles out of my mouth here, all right? Actually, I can, and I'm held to a higher standard. That's why I'm not going to say it. It's not offensive. I just think in this crowd, it'd probably be better not to. So, let me just think a second here. I started going down a pathway, and I just got to, and we'll still go this direction right here, okay? Here's the thing. We get addicted to where we are. You can try and tell a person, wow, this is a bad situation, but at least I know it. It's like a weird nostalgia. And so we don't change. And sometimes we get excited about realizing we need to change, but we don't change. And we end up. And the angels have come in and said, you know what? Time to change. Peace on earth. Good news of great joy. And I don't know what the shepherds were thinking. Yes, I'm going to be emperor, right? No. They just knew this. My gosh, I can be different. Whether my wife changes, I can change. Whether my husband changes, I can change. Whether my kids, my parents, my job, it doesn't matter. I can change. And the reason is because you are the ones on whom the favor of God rests. Last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, Peter's swan song. He's on his way to his martyrdom. These are the last minute things before he will face. And tradition says he was crucified upside down. That's what tradition, don't know historically, but we do know he was martyred for Jesus, as Jesus said would happen to him. So when you have your last letter, you're saying goodbye to everyone in this world. What do you say? Here's what Simon Peter said. Verse 3, chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, growth, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's given us everything. Angelic intervention says the divine is here. Jesus coming to the world says the divine is here. The Holy Spirit says the divine is within us. We share in that divine nature. We can do it. What does it take? Your part, my part, to our faith. First of all, do we have faith? Are we sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see? Do we have faith? Because if we don't have that, you can try and add goodness, self-control, knowledge. It all falls to pieces. And that's what happens. That's where we get stuck. We lose our faith. We could quit being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And we have a choice before us. It's like failing or failure. I pray that all of us fail. I pray none of us are failure. What's the difference? Failing is something that happens to you when you strive and you miss out. But you know what happens? You learn something. And you're able to change. Failure is when you accept that as a way of life. You never get up. You quit. You start putting down roots into this way of life where you're really not full of faith. You're not adding anything. You're excusing stuff. You're doing all that. We need change today. I want every husband in here, I want to ask you, what are you going to change by the power of God? Don't even think about your wife. Now, I'm going to change this as soon as she... No. What are you going to change? She may just blow up and go crazy on you, all right? Doesn't matter. What are you going to change? Wives, what are you going to change? But what about my... What does God say for you to change? Who are you going to... The peace that comes from within. Fathers, what are you going to change? I want to provide for my kids. Provide what? A roof, food, clothing? Amen. Good. You've done what any great Nazi would have done back then to their kids. What else are you going to provide? Don't let go of those things. Love them. Care for them. What will you provide? What will you change? Mothers, what are you going to change? Workers on your job, what are you going to change? Body of Christ members, what are you going to think concretely here? Because if you don't, you will end up being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says. You've got to engage. You've got to make a decision. And why? Because that's part of the peace of God that's within you, is you get to change. You don't have to stay the same. You're not a failure. You don't camp out there. But Sheridan, I failed. Good for you. What are you going to do now? You're now a lot more educated than you were before you failed. Now you know what not to do, right? Isn't that great? Thomas Edison failed the experiment 1,000 times. People go, why don't you quit? You failed 1,000 times. You go, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways it doesn't work. Any wonder why people revere him as a great inventor? Because failure's not an option. Failing is. I pray for some glorious failing around here that we strove with everything we had. Fell on our face. We went to God. What do I need to learn from that? What do I need to change in my marriage, in my parenting, on the job, in the involvement in church? What do I need to change? God, help me do that. And you know what's going to happen? All of the angels in heaven will engage in battle with all of the demons around that are sending you all the excuses. And the Holy Spirit himself will empower you and cause you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so consequences are not that important. What's important is faithfulness to God. That's what the angels are telling us. Because in the final analysis, we will search for peace all over the place. But peace has always been very near because it comes from God. And that's what the angels were saying. There's more going on than what you see. And change is a way of life and is possible. That's the outgrowth of the peace we experience. Let's pray. Father, right now we're going to take, as we take the communion, I pray that we just let our hearts be open to you. Speak to our hearts, Father. Holy Spirit, help us to see where we are and to see your glory, all of the characteristics that make you up, and your goodness, and to know that even the things we're afraid of, that your goodness is more powerful than that. Father, I know change is scary. I know there are times I just as soon just hold on to a way of life or to a way of being. It's just easier. And yet, I get so cut off from the great journey of faith and the life that you've given me. Thank you for always bringing me back. Thank you for your discipline. And I pray all of us will thank you for that. Right now, Father, we thank you for this bread and this fruit of the vine. As we take it, we reflect on the sacrifice of your Son. Father, something angels longed to look into all along, and then as it was revealed, they prepared the way. I think of Gabriel, I think of Michael, I think of all of the angelic beings that were part of this as your Son came into the world, died for our sins, and now, Father, he's raised, he's at your right hand interceding for us, and the armies of heaven fight to keep us protected. Thank you that we can be confident. Thank you we can be at peace. And thank you we can just enjoy your love. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did not get a communion cup, please raise your hands and the usher.